May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 615. Sinners called by grace and blessed with a living faith in Christ must not think to be caressed by a world of sin and vice. Satan's agents cannot love the Saviour's choice. Hymn 615.
Thank you.
Our reading is from Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgat his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God their Saviour, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them? Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the land. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness, unto all generations for evermore. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most kind and merciful Lord God, Lord, who help us as we gather this evening to worship Thee. Lord, we pray Thou wilt draw our hearts and our affections heavenward. We may be drawn away from the carking cares of this earth, and drawn to thy dear feet. We would pray with the spouse of old when she said, draw me, and we will run after thee. Oh, may we know more and more of the drawings of thy love, thy goodness, thy mercy to us. Oh, as thou hast spared us to gather on this thy holy day, Lord, it is toward evening. The day is far spent. Oh, we pray as those did and as they journeyed to Emmaus, that thou would abide with us, and that thy sweet presence may be known and may be felt. Oh, may all our hearts and affections be set on things above, where Christ sitteth. Oh, Lord, as we've been favoured with the sunshine in the earth this day, we pray that we may know in our souls the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. But, O Lord, we come as a poor, weak, needy sinner. Oh, that thou wouldst have mercy upon us, dear Lord. Thou wouldst grant us that real heart confession of our many, many sins. Oh, that we may ever be weeping and mourning and repenting of our sin at thy dear feet. May we have the religion thou didst give to the dear publican, and be taught to pray as he did. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And knowest, O Lord, how we need thy mercy, how we need thee to blot out all our many, many sins, our many transgressions, that thou wilt wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness, the fountain of thy precious blood. O Lord, do come and seal pardon and peace to each sin-sick soul. O, that there may be those set free from all the bondage of sin and of unbelief, the great bondage that Satan does so often bind our hearts with. Oh, that thou wouldst come and loose us, as thou didst Lazarus, Lord, and let us go. We would pray with the psalmist, bring my soul out of prison, and I shall praise thy holy name. Oh, we pray that there may be in this dark day many loose, Lord, and let go, that they may tell of the wonders thou alone hast done, and all that thou didst accomplish at Calvary for them. We pray, dear Lord, thou wilt quicken many into life in these dark days. Oh, how we need thee to quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. And oh, may it please thee that thou wilt bring in, even from this village, that those that thou hast chosen ere time began, to hunger and thirst for the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, may there be throughout this land many brought to fear and tremble before thee, before the majesty of heaven, and for to seek for mercy. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt keep us continually. We cannot keep ourselves. We are prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love. And oh, that thou wouldst keep us in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our lives, in our walk, in our conversation. Oh, may we be kept like dear Peter said, by the power of God. Lord, we prone to wander, and many dangers beset us on every side. We pray to be near thy dear feet, humbled in the dust. Oh, do save us, Lord, from all the powers of Satan and all his hellish crew. We pray that thou wilt give us more and more grace. Thou knowest, O Lord, how unbelief so creeps into our poor hearts. And thou knowest the many doubts, the many fears of thy people. But, oh, we pray that grace may abound in us, that we may have that grace given to endure to the end and to hold on our way. Oh, do make us steadfast, dear Lord, and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we pray that thou wilt strengthen our little faith. And knowest how faithless we are, and how they disreprove and rebuke thy dear disciples for the lack of faith. And O Lord, we feel so often so faithless, but oh, that thou wouldst grant that grain of living faith to believe, then all would easy be. Who take away all the unbelief there is, and oh, do remove all the fears and doubts of thy people. May it please thee, Lord, to give us more patience. Thou knowest how impatient we are so often. But oh, we pray for that heavenly patience to be given, to wait thy time, to wait thy appearing, to wait for thee to answer our poor prayers, our groanings, our sighs. And oh, may our poor petitions be real, Lord. Come out of our hearts. May we pray as dear Hannah did, from our heart, only our lips move. And oh, Lord, may we know those sweet answers of peace sent out, and to be able to praise thy holy name. To grant to us even this night a spirit, Lord, of real praise, of thanksgiving. For thou art worthy of all honour, of all glory and of all praise. Oh, that one said, and may it be our fervent longing, oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. Dear Lord, do bless the dear children, those with us, those who are here this morning, and each connected to this house of prayer, our own great-granddaughter and our grandchildren too. And each of the young ones, Lord, do remember them each with the favour thou bearest to thy people. May they truly be taught of the Lord, and hunger and thirst for the truth, as it is in Jesus. Keep them from the world and all its snares and attractions. Help them at school, Lord, and at college, at university. May they in early days be enabled to commit all their way to thee. And oh, may they be led by thee in every step. May there be raised up a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Remember those that are not here but could, Lord. We pray that there may be more and more earnestness in desire and longing for thy courts and for thy word. And we pray that thou wilt work mightily in bringing back prodigals and many that have forsaken Zion's ones. Remember those away at this time. Be with them, watch over them, preserve them and keep them. Bring them back in peace and safety. May they be refreshed by the change. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt remember all that are troubled and distressed and have many things to weigh them down. To help them to cast all these cares, these burdens, these concerns into thy hands. And oh, we pray thou wilt manage all for them. By the way and to the end. Remember those in advanced age and weakness. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt be very near to them and favour them with much of thy presence, that needed strength for each day, that needed grace to continue. And may they be upheld by thy almighty hand. O Lord, do prepare us each for the great day of death and our departing. Lord, we seem to stand before grave upon grave of late. And oh, we do beg of thee to prepare us each for that great day. May it be well with us while life endures, and well when called to die. May we have that sweet assurance that thou art with us, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. Remember all in affliction's pathway. We pray for healing mercies if it's thy will. But if it's thy will that affliction should abound, we seek for grace to bear it. And Lord, do remember each one that's in need, and do sanctify all thy dealings to us. May we not just come out of them, Lord, but may we be profited in our souls by them. Do bless the Sabbath school and bless those truths set forth today, and may it bear fruit to thy honour and glory, and the dear young ones be brought to know thee vitally and savingly as their God and Saviour. Remember the church here, we pray that there may be real travail in the church here and in our church at home and throughout Zion. There might be a bringing forth of precious souls. For thou hast said when Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. We pray that thou wilt work and add to them such as should be saved, and that there may be yet others constrained, that there may be a moving of the waters both here and in our own flock and throughout Zion, and that we may look on like dear Manoah and his wife, while the uncreated angel worked wondrously. Do help the deacons and bless them and give them wisdom and grace in all things, and bless the hymns they give out. May they prove to be thy choice and not just man's choice, Lord. And oh, may thy blessing rest upon them, and may we know the realities of what we see. Who remembers Zion and each of thy dear servants, grant them gracious help and liberty in the preaching of the word. And oh, may there be those signs following. And we would pray for our nation, Lord, and the nations of the earth. Thou wilt turn us from our wicked ways to seek thee and serve thee. May there yet be better days in this land, and real returning unto the Lord. May the prayers of thy people be heard and answered, even for this nation. In the midst of deserved wrath, remember mercy still. Oh, that thou wouldst arise, Lord, and appear for us, Put down all the enemies of the truth, the evil and violent men. Remember thy persecuted ones throughout the earth, those in great need, in hurricane disasters, Lord, those in war, those in famine, and all that need them. We pray thou wilt appear. Now we would not multiply words, but we beg of thee to come and anoint us this evening to speak a few things in thy holy name. And may thy word be applied with divine power, that that which is sown in weakness may be raised in power. And Lord, as the benefit is ours, may all the glory be thine. Help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies, for we are not worthy, Lord, of the least of them. Forgive now what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so fail, so we would fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enlighten, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce, O pronounce, I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood. And may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus my Lord. Hymn 380.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 106 and the fourth verse. Psalm 106 and verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Psalm 106 and verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. The psalms surrounding this beautiful psalm all begin with a note of praise. And what a wonderful thing it is to be given a true spirit of praise. If ever there were those that could praise the Lord, you will find it so much in the dear psalmists of Israel. And they got much to praise the Lord for. And this psalm begins with the same blessed theme, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, really, we need to praise the Lord that we're not in a deserved hell. We're not where hope cannot come. We need to praise him for his great mercies to us, both in our souls and too in the wondrous provisions of providence. But this verse in verse 4 seemed to so rest upon me. I woke up with it this morning. As I woke, the Lord seemed to sweetly drop it into my heart. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Well, may the Holy Spirit open it up to us and help us this evening. First of all, remember me. Is that your fervent petition tonight? You see, the Lord remembering others, and they are favoured, but you long for it for your own soul. And this will be the fervent petition, not only of the child of God in their early beginnings of their spiritual experience and life, but it'll be their prayer right to their dying day. And if I remember rightly, there are 18 characters in the Word of God that prayed this prayer. And it's a prayer that will never wear out. You know, many things of time we have, they wear out, don't they, by time. Well, you look right from the beginning of God's holy word, right through to the close of it. And this same petition was found in so many of God's dear children. And they long for the Lord to remember them. Now, we believe there are a few in the earth still today that long for this. And the Lord will put it in the hearts of his dear people to pray this. You know, we need, and I speak this guardedly and rightly, You know, there are many calls for prayer in this dark and solemn day, and we need it, is true. But what we do need is the Lord to indite such a prayer as this right into our inmost soul. And then it will come forth by the Holy Spirit's divine leading in fervent longing. Remember me, O Lord. How urgent do you pray, and how urgent do I pray this prayer? Remember me. It was the prayer of dear Hannah. She needed the Lord to remember her. And you know, one of the sweet verses in that beautiful first chapter of the book of Samuel concerning her was what the Holy Spirit answered and gave her a request. And we read, and the Lord remembered her. Oh, he did. It was not only her longing that he could remember, would remember her, but the Lord did remember her. And when, look in your heart and mine, when was the last time the Lord remembered you and remembered me? We find two things here, really, in this longing. Remember me, O Lord, and O visit me with thy salvation. And you know, if you go in the life of dear Jeremiah, he prayed exactly the same. And that beautiful chapter, he says, remember me and visit me. He not only longed for the Lord to remember him, but to visit him too. And here the same language is found in this beautiful psalm. Now, we're not told who the author of it was, but it's widely believed to have been David. It speaks so much of the language of his heart. Remember me, O Lord. We find the same longing and prayer found in the dying thief, don't we? In the closing breath of his life. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what did the Lord do? He did remember him, didn't he? You know, those that he truly indicts this prayer in their hearts, the hour will come when he will remember them. What we need, and I feel it more and more, is the Lord to indict such prayer. And if he does, he will give the answer. Oh yes. It may not be when we think it should come, but in his time, the appointed time, he will hear and he will answer. Well, what particularly rested upon me was how the dear psalmist prayed this, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Firstly, he could look back and he could see how the Lord had remembered Abraham. He remembered Isaac. He remembered Jacob. He remembered Joseph. And he could look back and he longed that the Lord would remember him in the same way that he remembered them. And it reminded me when I was in my early days in Stapler's Chapel, you know, the Lord put the desire in my heart, like he did with Ruth, to cleave to his people. And I used to look at some of those old godly saints and I used to say, Lord, do bless me like thou hast blessed them. Remember me with the favour that thou hast favoured them with. And you know, as the dear psalmist looks back, he could see how the Lord had favoured those godly ones of old. And he longed for the same. With the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Well, what I want to do as help this evening is look at a few of these favours. That he longed for the Lord to grant to him personally. And we would begin with this favour, the favour of the pardon of all our sin. You know, as he looked back over godly Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and those the others I named, he could see how the Lord had pardoned all their sin and how he'd favoured them. With God-given repentance, true confession of their many sins, and brought them to his dear feet as poor, humble, seeking souls, and he favoured them with mercy and with pardon and with peace. And David longed for the same. Oh, he did. Now look in your heart and look at I. You know, I love that prayer of David's, and I quote it this morning, prayer, if I remember rightly. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And you know, I trust that's the inmost longing of my soul each day. We need to be purged, don't we? We need to be washed. And as he looks back at the favour the Lord blessed those dear divines of old with, he could see how the Lord had granted to them. And he longed for the same. And I believe, you know, those seeking, longing ones, I mean, maybe you young ones, maybe those that are older, you're seeking and longing to know what they were favoured with. A taste of his pardoning love. A taste of the sweet application of the precious blood of Jesus. And what does that precious blood do? He cleanseth from all sin. Oh, he does. And do we long for it? Remember me, O Lord, with the favour. Oh, do favour me as thou didst them with that sweet peace, that sweet pardon, that sweet forgiveness, that they could go on their way rejoicing. And the reason why the dear psalmist on many occasions, going back to what I commenced with, could sound forth the note of God's praise was because they knew that sweet pardon of all their sin. What a favour. You know, we should never get to heaven without it. And this is what troubles the exercised child of God, because each breath we draw, we are that much nearer eternity. The hymn writer said, how stands the case, my soul with thee? Are heaven thy credentials clear? Is Jesus' blood thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Is that your longing? Remember me, O Lord. He's pleading with the God of heaven, who alone could grant him this favour. You think of the dying thief. The Lord favoured him with it in that dying breath, really. And in the last moments of his life, his pardon was signed and his peace was procured. It was nothing that he had done. It was all in love by the dear Redeemer given. He shed his own precious blood for him. I often think of what that dear man said, you know. He acknowledged, didn't he, that what he was receiving in the crucifixion, he was receiving because of all his sin and what he deserved because of it. But when he looked at the dear Redeemer, what did he say? But this man, this glorious man, this lovely man, hath done nothing amiss. He saw in a precious Jesus the blessed perfection and suitability to his case. And it was he that was to remember him with the favour that he bears to his dear people. And he could die in peace, couldn't he? But this man, the apostle, of course, took it up in writing to the Hebrews, didn't he? But this man, after he'd offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But this man, you know, it's a wonderful word, that is, isn't it? There's something very precious to sinners in this man. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. Another divine favour will be the Lord will bless his dear people. And Abraham, Isaac and Jacob were blessed with it. And it was this. The sweet presence of the Lord with them. What a favour. The hymn writer speaks of a favour astonishing, divine. And you think in your heart and in your pathway today, do you long for the favour of his sweet presence to be with you? You look and you can read it in Holy Writ from Genesis right through the Word of God, how the Lord blessed his dear people with his sweet and sacred presence. It's vital. I often quote the verse, and may have done here over the years many times, but you know there's a lot of reality in it, precious reality. And what is it? In thy presence I am happy. Doesn't trouble the world or the ungodly or the wicked, does it, whether they've got the presence of the Lord with them or not? It doesn't concern them. They know not him. They desire not him. But if the Lord has given you this desire that's in our text, beloved friend, seek in soul, the day will come when he will favour you to feel the need of his presence and favour you with that sweet presence. And it'll make you happy. What will it do? It'll lift you out of all the sorrow that you've got. It'll lift you out of all the distress caused by your sin. And it'll fill your soul with his love. But thou bearest to thy people. And oh, think of those two that journeyed to Emmaus. You know, they started the journey, didn't they? Ever so sad. Now maybe those of you to come tonight, you're sad because of your own heart and all the sin and wickedness within you. And you're sad too because the Lord seems to hide his face. And you're sad because there are many trials you're walking through or many afflictions, and they make you sad. And you're sad because Satan seems to attack you on every side. And you're sad because there seems no answer to your prayers. You cry and shout like Jeremiah, and all your prayer he seems to shut out. Now they started the journey ever so sad, and there was a reason for that. Their dear Redeemer, on whom all their hope rested upon, had been taken from them and crucified and laid in the tomb. And they were walking a path they'd never walked in before. They were sad, but what happened? Jesus himself, no other. Throughout the Old Testament, as we looked a little this morning at, there were beautiful types of the dear Redeemer. The Lord used types and shadows, but this was he himself. A risen Saviour drew near and he went with them. And what was the effect of it? It was to turn their sadness into joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you look at the joy they felt in their soul as he unfolded to them the scriptures and all that had taken place. And he turned their sorrow into joy. And oh, how they knew that sweet and sacred presence of the Lord with them. In thy presence, I am happy. And they knew what it was to feel it. Not the happiness of the world. What do we sing? And dear Mrs. Gurney, that was at Ashwell, one of my oldest members, you know, she was baptised in 1932, if I remember rightly. And it was a bitter, cold winter night. She said, you know, she feared the water because it was so cold. But, you know, the Lord came and he made that beautiful hymn so precious to her. Oh, the happiness arising from the work of grace within. When the soul is realizing conquest over hell and sin. Happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. And she said her soul was lifted above everything of this earth. And she said, oh, the sweet savour of Christ within the doors and within her heart. She never forgot it. You know. She said as she went down into that water and she said it just felt like feathers around her. The savour of his presence was there. Jesus, even in the waters. Now going back to those that journeyed to Emmaus. Oh, how he turned their happiness, their sorrow into happiness, into joy. And he can do it today, poor soul. You plead what's in this text, Lord, remember me. Remember me in this path of affliction. Remember me in this trial. Remember me when I'm weighed down by sin. Remember me when I'm opposed by Satan on every side. Remember me when all the children are crying. Remember me when I feel to be at the ends of the earth. And you know, sometimes the Lord brings us into those places to make us plead this word, doesn't it? You know, we need something to keep us at the throne of grace. We are told by the Saviour himself, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You think how soon we're fainting when trials come, afflictions abound, and troubles on every side. And we soon find him. Men ought always to pray. And may the Lord grant us that fervent prayer that we might pray without ceasing. Give the Lord no rest. Reminds me of a dear old lady many years ago. She said, you know, I wake in the morning and I find my heart praying, Lord, help me. And she said, that's the prayer all the day through. And when I come to the close of it, it's still, Lord, help me. Praying without ceasing. Maybe around the house, it may be on the farm, it may be under the hedgerow, it may be in the busy streets of Cambridge or any city or town. It may be in the busy office. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest to thy people. And you look at the blessed close of that journey. Their very heart burned within them while he talked with them by the way. So near, you see, the Saviour was to them. Well could the psalmist pray, it's a good prayer, be not far from me, O God. Why, if the Lord is far from us, we're open to danger, aren't we? Satan can creep in. He wanted to feel the Lord nigh at hand, not afar off. We're often far off, aren't we? Left in our cold, unconcerned, unexercised state, rebellious state maybe, and we are far off. The Lord withdraws, but oh, to feel him near. But go back to the line of the hymn. In thy presence I am happy, but in thy presence I am secure. He knows a wonderful security for sinners in the presence of the Lord. And when he favours us to feel his sweet presence with us, we feel the security. David felt it when he went forth to fight Goliath. The Lord was so with him. There was his safety. There he was secure. Not all the threats of Goliath, the size of the man, the spear, the sword, the Philistine army could deter David. Why? Because he got the King of Israel with him, the Lord God of heaven. Oh yes. I know it's a line in the verse of the hymn on baptism, but it's a very sweet line. I remember taking a baptising some years ago now, and the dear lady was so fearful of the water. And she said, you know, the Lord spoke to her these words, dread no ills that may befall thee, while you make his ways your choice. Dread no ills. And you think you may have many things that you dread now, but dread no ills that may befall thee. And if you've got the Lord's sweet presence like she was blessed with on that occasion, you know you'll feel the security. In thy presence I'm happy, in thy presence I'm secure. But then we need a lot of grace to say what's next, don't we? In thy presence, all afflictions we can easily endure. We need a lot of grace to say that. But you know, in the presence of the Lord with us, oh, what mercy there is even in affliction. I shall never forget, as we think we told you 2 years ago today, that when I lay in Bournemouth Hospital with that sepsis, you know, the Lord so favoured me with his presence. I shall never forget it. Eternity as it were at the doors, but oh, the wonders of his presence. And you see, when you're really in that poor soul, you'll be submissive to his mind and his will. You will. And that's where the Lord brought me, to submission to his will, whether it be for life or for death. And we cannot bring ourselves there. But when he favours us, it is a favour. And you'll feel so unworthy of it. Jacob did, didn't he? When the Lord favoured him with deliverance, with his blessing. What did he say when the Lord delivered him from Esau and those 400 men against him? He says, I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. But then it may be you need the Lord to deliver you from Satan and all his powers, or deliver you from some trial you may be in, or some affliction, some difficulty. And you need the Lord to come and favour you with that deliverance. And you know, when you look back at those godly forefathers, once more we look back to them, you see, the dear psalmist could look back and see the Lord favoured them with such clear deliverances. Oh, he did. Well, you take the case of Jacob with Esau's 400 men against him. Look how the Lord favoured him there in a twofold way. Firstly, he favoured him with complete deliverance from Esau and those 400 men. And the old David could look back and see that wonderful deliverance, and it may be in your own life. You can look back and you can see those times where the Lord has delivered you. It may be in a providential matter. It may be from the enemies that pursue you. It may be from your own deceitful heart or from the opposition of Satan. And the Lord appeared and delivered you. And what a favour. You look back at that favour and, Lord, do give it again. Do come again and deliver me again. You see, he's able. I love that couplet of the hymn, where the hymn writer said, he is able. We often fear that he won't deliver us, but he is able. You see, and we need faith to view that. He is able, and he is willing. Doubt no more. You know, some of those dear hymn writers seem to be able to express the real longings and desires of the real child of God. He is able. Do you believe it? Well, Jacob did. When he wrestled with that blessed angel, the dear Redeemer. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. A believing the Lord was able to put down all those enemies. And the Lord did. But the second part of it was, look at the blessing the Lord gave him in it. How he blessed him there. And it may be you're seeking that twofold blessing tonight. He is able. Think of what Daniel said when the king said to him, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? What did Daniel say? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they cannot hurt me. You see, David's God when he went forth to fight Goliath. Daniel's God, when he was in the den of lions, was able, and he's able today, poor soul, to appear for you and to favour you. He's able. Doubt no more. But we do, don't we? We're prone to doubts. And you know, really, there are many that rest on doubts, and it troubles me, because doubting is a sin. May the Lord sweep away all the doubts, and he can in a moment. Doubt no more. And if the Lord speak that to you with almighty power, what will he do? He'll remove all the doubts. And he'll give you faith to believe like he did Daniel. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. They cannot hurt me. And David knew it when he went forth to fight Goliath. Daniel knew it. And may the Lord favour us to know it. With the favour thou bearest unto thy people. And then, oh, to be favoured with sweet tokens for good from the Lord. Well could David pray in Psalm 86, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. He wanted to see it, you see, that token. You know, some wonderful records in God's holy word of where the Lord showed tokens for good. We think of Noah, when they saw that bow set in the cloud. And what was that bow for? It was a token of God's love. And what a favour, you know, to know the token of God's everlasting love in our souls. Him to come and fill us with his love. Wonderful favour it is to have a taste of it. Just a taste of his everlasting love. Well, you think of dear Jeremiah. That beautiful word, and the Lord has spoken it to so many of his dear children over the years. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you know, when the Lord comes and he whispers such a word as that to your soul, you know what it is to feel that love, and it fill your poor heart. And what be the effect of it? Well, all the troubles you have, all the distresses, all the burdens, will be gone in a moment. You may say, oh, but they soon come back. They do, when he begins to withdraw, like the spouse in the Song of Solomon. My beloved hath withdrawn himself. She was back in the sorrow. But oh, to have a taste of that everlasting love. Yea, I have loved thee. May the Lord whisper that to poor, seeking, troubled, exercised child of God tonight. And then you will know what it is to know that favour of his everlasting love. Conveyed into your soul. And you know, really, that's part of the blessed work of the Holy Spirit, to convey that love down. He takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto poor sinners. He takes that love and applies it to their souls. When Jesus, with his mighty love, visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. You know, that love can sweep away all your doubts in a moment. Doubt no more. Oh, may we have a sweet application of that tonight. You know, I hope there have been a few times in one's poor heart where he has swept away all the doubts. And that's a blessed place to be in. We cannot do it. Man cannot do it. Your best friends, your loved ones cannot do it. But the Lord can do it. And he can do it in a moment. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. I had for hope to go further, but because of time I shall have to leave it. But it says here, O visit me with thy salvation. O visit me. There are so many favours. It takes many sermons. We'd never wear it out to preach of the favours he blesses with. The favours of answers to prayer. You think of going back to dear Hannah I named earlier. You know what a favour it was to her to have that sweet answer to her prayer. And when she brought her Samuel in, you know, to present him to the Lord, oh, the gratitude and praise in her heart, the Lord had favoured her and given her a request. All her crying and groaning had been in vain. Thou shalt, the hymn writer said, may the Holy Spirit apply, obtain the blessing yet. Jesus will not thy cries forget. But oh, to have that favour of the sweet assurance that it'll be well with us while life endures. And well when called to die. Think of the Shunammite woman, how favoured she was when that question was put to her from Gehazi. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thine husband? Is it well with the child? And remember, the child lay dead. And what did she say? It is well. And she knew what it was to feel it. And she knew what it was to have that favour to feel it. And to know it. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Well, I shall have to leave that for your meditation. But just would say this. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. It's a beautiful word, isn't it, salvation? It's all accomplished at Calvary. Salvation's work was done. You know, it's a blessed and profound word. What does it mean in a sentence, really? It means full and complete deliverance. You see, when the Lord Jesus came to redeem his dear bride, his church, he brought salvation down, which meant their full and complete deliverance from all the rage of hell, from all the wrath of a holy God, from all the condemnation of sin. They were to be free. If the Son make you free, then are you free indeed. Oh, visit me, Lord. With thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. You know that last verse, and I must leave it, but just before I went before the church in 1963, that verse was so sweet to me. And well, the Lord had applied some of the earlier verses to me in days before, but that last verse of hymn 330. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see.
the collections last Lord's Day for those in distress in Central America amounted to £1,750.05, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. And Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach at our Thanksgiving services on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and the collections taken for the Oakington Chapel Building Fund. And God willing, Mr. Field will preach for us again next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. Hymn 1072.
come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. Do pardon and forgive anything that's been amiss. Be with us each now as we separate. Take us into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.